This is the Two Bald Nerds Podcast.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Two Bald Nerds Podcast, live at the date of recording from Houston, Texas. It's Mark Stucheski, also host of the Mark Stucheski Podcast. And my partner on the podcast is from my hometown. And where might that be? And who might you be, sir?
Well, I may be Dan Bourne, and I might be from Rochester, New York, where it is considerably colder than it is in Houston,
you guys are
having a little bit of a cold snap, but you guys will warm up quick. We apparently won't, although it is supposed to hit 68 sometime towards the weekend. So that'll be nice.
Yeah. Just to put this into context, we recorded this just last Wednesday, October 19th. And then within 24 hours of this podcast, we'll be 80 degrees down in Houston. It is the South. We're supposed to be warm. That's what's supposed to happen. But speaking of warm and sunny, I'm really jacked up about this podcast today because we're going to talk about solar. And I am so excited about solar because I watched a bunch of YouTube videos. My wife and I were considering solar. We have to get a new roof replaced first, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. And I found out that the sun puts enough solar energy on this planet in one day to power the entire world for a year. Let that sink in. Okay. The sun gives us enough solar energy in one day to power the entire world for a year. That to me, Danny, is absolutely insane.
Yeah. It seems to me that we should be able to come up with some way to harness that. Mm-hmm. And again, solar panels are one of these ways, but we have a lot of smart people in the world. And you would think that by now we would have come up with a way to harness all of that energy and get us closer to a place where we would be using that as opposed to the ways we have now.
100%. Well, I want to start this episode out by sharing a Wall Street Journal article I read that stated October 15th, 2022. If you have access to Wall Street Journal, or if you're like me, an Apple News Plus subscriber on your iPhone, you can go look at the article. The title is "Solar Power Stayed On as Hurricane Ian or Ian, whatever his name was, Knocked the Lights Out Across Florida." And the first paragraph says, "Neighborhoods powered by solar panels with backup batteries weathered the direct onslaught of Hurricane Ian in Florida, utilities and developers said, keeping the lights on throughout the storm while millions of others lost power." So I thought that was a real interesting way to kick off the show. So there's a couple options that you can do when it comes to solar. There's solar only, which is, this is how that works. If the grid goes down and you have solar only, you also lose power. And at first I didn't understand it. I talked to somebody just a few days ago. And the reason why is as you generate solar, it goes from your solar panels to your inverter out to the grid. The grid says, okay, Mark has generated 1,000 kilowatts of power, so we're going to let him use 1,000 kilowatt of power for free. Because if the grid goes down, there's no place for the energy to go from the solar. I never thought about that. The other option is solar with batteries. So what happens is your solar panels are soaking up all the sun. It's charging batteries. Now, if the grid goes down, you run off the battery until your batteries run out, and then you go and use the grid. Oh, it's down, so you're out of luck. So those are the only two options. Now, there's a couple things you need to consider when it comes to solar energy, solar panels. One is location and weather. Now, Danny, as we just mentioned, or he mentioned, he lives in Rochester, New York. I live in Houston, Texas. Down in the South, we get a lot of sun. And that's why the state of Florida is called the Sunshine State. So if you have a lot of clouds, like up in the north, like Seattle and stuff like that, solar may not work for you. It may work somewhat, but not as good as if you have a lot of sun. Second thing is roof angle and direction. If you have a roof that's facing the south, that's really important. Next is east and west. The north is, most people don't put solar panels on the north side of their home because there's no point. Number three is shade from trees and other objects. So if you have ginormous trees around your house, well, guess what? You're not going to get any solar energy onto the solar panels to create energy and other objects like buildings and stuff like that. And the fourth thing is roof space. You got to have space on your roof. You got a tiny roof, which I don't think anybody has. You're not going to be able to have enough power in order to power your home. So, Danny, the things I talked about already, any questions or anything you want to chime in on?
So when you were doing the research or when you were talking to people, they did say that the south facing was the best, but east and west directional roofs would be the next best approach.
Right. As long the further south you are, it's better. It's the further south you are, the better off you are of having south and east facing, or I'm sorry, east and west facing. But if you're north, obviously you're more northern from the equator. So you up north in Rochester would have to emphasize south facing because that's where the sun is.
All right. That leaves me out because my house is literally a pitched roof that goes east and west.
Well, what you have to do is you have to do some research because with Apple Maps and Google Maps, they can actually look at your house, look at your exact location, and tell you how much energy you can get from solar panels. Yeah. Now, I think for giggles, I'll give you a website when we're off the air, and you can go look. It's amazing, and they can give you quotes. Now, the quotes I get, they say based on where I am and no obstructions, I can get 104% of the power I need. Wow. Which is exciting.
That's pretty nice.
Because right now we have budget billing. So we pay, I think, $178 a month budget billing because our electric bill goes sky high in the summertime. And then for the other 9 months, it's like next to nothing. But if I didn't have a budget billing, I'd be paying $600-$800 in the summer and then $25 in the wintertime. Now with solar and like there's no clouds at all in the summertime in Houston, that I can actually power my home for, I won't say nothing, but I would be able to pay. There's always that, like the monthly charges, you know, you get charged. You can't get away from that. So I pay, instead of $700, I pay like $30, which is nice. But the more sun exposure you have to your home, the better off. So what I would encourage you to do is just go get some estimates just for fun. And they'll be able to tell you, yeah, you're out of luck, or yeah, you can get maybe 50%. Remember, 50% is better than nothing.
Oh, sure. For sure. I do know there are some people on the street next to me that have solar on their house. Their whole one side of their house is paneled, but that roof is actually a south-facing roof. So their house pitches north-south, and they've got the whole south side of their house covered in solar panels.
Well, you're just going to have to pick your house up and turn it.
I mean, you make a good point. I've always heard that obviously cloud cover plays a big part of it. And where we are, because of the lakes that we're tucked in between two, because if you ever look on a map, Rochester is right next to Lake Ontario, but we're also pretty close to Lake Erie. We get lots of lake effect. There's always clouds. I can't remember. I looked it up at one point, but I want to say that we're on par, maybe a little bit less, or I should say a little bit more. We get a little bit more sun in a year than Seattle, but that's not saying much because Seattle gets like almost no sun every year. So,
but there was one YouTuber I found. He actually lives in either New Hampshire or Connecticut, and he gets a lot of, he has solar on his house. So it's not that it can't be done. It's a little more trickier because we get a lot of clear skies with a lot of solar. So if you're in the South, if you're not on solar or not considering solar, I think you're making a mistake because there's a couple options you can look at when you get solar. Now, solar is not cheap, but you got to do the math. So there's two options. You can lease or finance it. Okay. And usually they can get your bill to be less than your normal electric bill, which means it's technically no additional cost, or you can pay for it up front. So what I did is I did the math, and you know me, Danny, I love math. I mean, I love simple math. So if I take my phone and I go, let's round up the $178 budget billing I'm paying now. Okay. Let's go to 200. So 200 times 12 times 25 years, which is typically the length of, how long your solar panel is going to last. That's what they guarantee. That'll be a total payment of $60,000 paid to my electrical company. Most solar panels installed cost about $25,000 or $30,000. Now, you don't have the math whiz to go, yeah, $30,000 is less than $60,000. You know, it's pretty much simple math. And of course, yes, the math is going to the electrical charge. They're going to go, but they're not going to go down. They're always going to go up. So you're going to pay more for electrical as the time goes on. But solar can actually anywhere between 6 and 9 years, it pays for itself. In other words, now you're actually making more money. Now, if you can front the whole money up front, then what happens is you're just using the power and then your bill goes down, your electrical bill goes down, it goes, everything goes good. The good thing about it is they actually heard not only does it increase the value of your home, but it actually strengthens your roof. So you got to have a new roof, less than 20 years old, but it actually fortifies the roof. And I'm really excited about it because, you know, as prices continue to go up, I'm looking for an alternative. And yeah, there is the green aspect about it. You know, we're still going to have coal. Coal generating is not going to go away in our lifetime because it's a long way. It's a lot to going 100% green. If you haven't done the work, maybe we should do an episode on that. Going green 100%, there's a lot that has to happen. I mean, a lot. Recently California said, no more gas-powered cars after 2035. Oh, you can't, you got to buy an electric car, but you can't charge it because our grid's too weak. I'm sorry, what? It's just like, you know, let's fix the grid. Then we tell people they can't have gas cars. But I think I encourage everyone to do their homework. That's what I did. I just went to YouTube and type in, is solar panels worth it? And is solar panels a scam? If you do your research, I've never found anyone said it's a scam. You could be ripped off by the installer, but if you do your homework, it's pretty good deal. Now, when it comes to solar, this is where it gets kind of geeky for you. When you get your solar panels, there's two kind of options because what it does, it creates DC power. So if you've got a Tesla and you want to charge up your or any electric car, well, that takes direct current. So you can actually plug that your solar panel directly into your car to charge. But everything else in your house uses AC current. So what the inverter does, as you probably know, Danny, it takes that DC, flips over to AC. And there's these things called inverters. There's micro inverters and centralized inverters. Well, the micro inverter is if you've got 20 panels, you have 20 micro inverters. So if there's a problem with one, your whole system stays up except for the one panel. A centralized, there's so many terms to remember. A centralized inverter actually sits inside of your house and it inverts all the power. And if you have a problem with that, you lose power on your solar when they flip it out. I asked the representative I was talking to, you know, for this website, and she says most people, installers, either choose one or two paths. Either they're only micro inverters or they're a centralized inverter. And the ones who do micro don't like to switch to the central. The centrals don't like the micro. It's just a matter of preference, because if you have a micro inverter go, they have to come out to your house, get a ladder, climb up on your roof, and it's a lot of work. It's a longer process, but they're only taking that one panel down. With the centralized, they last a little longer because the casing's a little bit different. So these are all choices you have to make. Now, my wife and I are going down the road of finding out what it's like to get solar, and they make it really easy because if you do the math, and I'm a simple guy, it makes sense to have solar if you can afford it and you get enough sun.
Gotcha. So you can't have both is basically what you're saying. You're either on the micro inverters or you're a single inverter.
Yes. Okay. It's called a centralized
inverter. A centralized inverter. Okay.
Because what happens is the solar hits the panels and then right away the inverter switches to AC power. So there's no way you could have two in the system because it's already been converted over to AC power.
I wonder how that works for charging batteries, because batteries are already DC.
What it does is actually convert it back to DC.
Ah, gotcha.
Because most of the house, your AC, your stove, AC. Everything else AC. So what they decided to do is convert the solar to AC. And then if you want to charge your battery, they flip it back to DC.
Well, that makes sense.
Now, the one thing I did not look into, because I haven't gone down this trail yet, but can you disconnect from the grid? Now, my wife, Michelle, did some preliminary work. Some municipalities, will let you disconnect from the grid. Some won't.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask, because if you go back, the technology's obviously gotten better over time.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is something that's been around for a long time, solar panels in general. And there was a time when I was kind of toying around with the idea. Back when I was looking at it years and years and years ago, they weren't even good enough to really be cost effective, especially for an area like here.
Mm-hmm.
But you could still set them up. Back then, they didn't have this whole process where you had to be connected to the grid. Like if you wanted to install solar panels on your house, you fit the bill for cost of installing the solar panels. You fit the bill for setting up your battery backup. And then all of the power that those solar panels generated was yours, because it was coming into the house, into the batteries, charging the batteries, running your house as it needs to, and then running off the battery. And if you had enough battery banks, and I've seen many DIY people, because I watch a lot of DIY YouTubers that have done this, like out in the Arizona desert, that are doing off-grid homes, because that's one of the things that interests me. Even as a nerd, I like a lot of the off-grid stuff. And when they set them up, they're not connected to any grid. But like you said, governments have gotten involved, and now there are literally certain places, and New York, I believe, is one of them. You cannot have solar panels installed on your property unless they are licensed and connected to the grid.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do the whole off-grid thing in New York State. They right. want to make sure that they maintain that cut, because yes. they're getting the power back. They're basically sucking. They're basically using you as a battery generator, and just giving you the free uses of energy. So it's going back to them and then coming back to you free.
Yes.
And anything now, you overgenerate is really theirs for free.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to get a battery. So if you have a battery, it goes from your solar panels to the battery and then out to the grid.
Yeah.
If you don't have a battery, it goes from your panels to the grid. Oh, the grid's down. You're out of luck. Because yeah. at first I didn't understand that. And I'm like, wait a minute. I got solar on my house. It's a clear blue sky. The sun's pouring on my solar. Why can't I use the energy? And the person I talked to, her name is Jessica. And she goes, well, where's the power going to go? I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, because of the solar panels are doing their job. And now the grid's gone. And so there's no place. The power's got to go someplace unless you have a battery.
Right.
So, and you know what? You know the weird thing? You know what got me interested in this? My wife and I watched this show called The Neighborhood on CBS on Mondays. And they did an episode about the guy having solar, and he went off the grid. And that got this whole thing going. Yep. And the more I started learning about it, I'm like, this is pretty cool. Now, I will tell you that there are some municipalities you can go off the grid, some you can't. So you have to do your research. Now, there was this big tax credit that was really incentivizing people to go solar. It expires at the end of 2022. I just found out last week that that's been extended another 10 years. And it's like 30%.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how everything works, but the 30% tax credit, they don't send it to you because we're not trustworthy. They send it to the installer, and then it lowers the bill. I don't know. I'm not totally sure how that works. I haven't gotten there yet because I'm not ready to buy solar yet. But I wanted to share with you four main reasons why people buy solar. Number one, the environmental impact. Now, yeah, it's green, but they still have to use fossil fuels to create the solar panels. So just think about that. Plus, when the solar panels die, there's a big debate. I saw a YouTube video on this. You know, what do they do with the YouTube? What do they do with the solar panels? I mean, it's like you just don't put them at the corner for heavy trash pickup. I mean, that's something we have to think about. To save money, obviously another reason. To increase the value of your home, I mentioned this earlier, estimates between 4 and 7%, your house goes up because you have solar installed. And then there's the protection from losing power, which is a big deal, because I don't know if you ever had this happen before, Danny. Your power just goes out and you're like, it's a sunny day. There's not a cloud in the sky. Why did I lose power? And you don't know. So we have these battery backups for our computers and our modem and stuff like that. But they only last like a, an hour, 2 hours, and it only powers your laptop and your modem. It won't power your AC.
Right.
So I think this is something people should look into. Just understand that there's a lot of what I call false. Now, I won't say false advertising. I will say disingenuous advertising, not by really high quality installers. They'll say, yeah, you can see these ads on YouTube or TikTok. You can get solar installed, you know, for free. It's not free. Okay. What they're saying is, like, let's say your electric bill is $200 a month and your financing for solar is $200 a month. It'll wash, but it's not free. Okay. We talked about this before. There's nothing in this world that is free.
Right.
Even if Elon Musk says, hey, Danny, hey, Mark, I want to put solar panels on your house and I want to give you the best inverters I can. It's still not free because he's going to want something. Okay.
No, of course.
There's nothing free in this world. But I think that if you have solar, you have a battery, and then you get those power blips, because now just think about it. My father has a generator. When Hurricane Ian came and his neighborhood lost power, it has to switch over to the generator. Okay. And every 30 minutes, every 24 hours, because he had to run it for 3 days, he has to turn the generator off. With solar, my understanding of solar is the solar panels charge the battery. So if the power goes out, you won't know it right away. Because if let's say your batteries can power your house for, like, say, 12 hours. I just picked that number out of thin air. I don't know how long it'll work. Well, the power goes out, you'll have no idea because everything in your house is still working.
Right.
You'll have no idea. Your modem was still working. Everything will still be working. And where my father's generator, it does click on really quickly, but there's that microsecond where the TV resets and the computer reboots or something like that. If it's not a battery, if it's like plugged in the wall, it has to reboot. Because that split second, power goes out, generator kicks in. But with the solar, you're actually using the power from the solar and the battery. So if the grid goes down, you're not going to know it, which I think is pretty cool, because you're like, people are like, oh, you without power, and like, oh, there's power outage, because you'll have no idea because you'll be running off your batteries. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And the way they set it up, they, like you said, they set it up that way on purpose so that you don't get that momentary gap. What most people would consider a brownout, like we have those up here where the power will sometimes occasionally just, you get like a lapse in power for like a split second. Like, we've had that at our house. Like, our street has just had that happen. And then what's weird is some of your devices will reset, some of them won't.
Yeah.
it's very odd, but yes, I get what you're saying.
Now, it's a long process. When I was talking to this girl, Jessica, she told me it's a long process because first they do the Google Maps view for your home and they see where your location is, because they can tell exactly where you are in regards to the, you know, the equator, how many, if you have any obstructions. And then she said the next step is you do a FaceTime call and they want to see, can your power handle it? They want to, like, look at your power, your circuit breaker, make sure that works. And then they actually, I guess, come out and they want to know what, you know, your AC and all this sort of stuff, because before they can give you an actual bid, they need to know everything that's going on in your house. Like, I only have a couple laptops, an Apple TV, you know, smart TV, a couple iPhones. Well, you have a lot more computers, you have more people, and you have heat and cold and that kind of stuff. So they need to know how everything works, because they want to make sure they put enough solar panels on your house that's going to power your entire house. Now, you may not get the 100% where you live, but I definitely get the 100% where I am. And I see a lot of my neighbors getting solar now because it is a safety feature if the power goes out. And it's kind of exciting to know that your neighbors could be without power and you won't even know the difference. I think that part would be kind of snobbishly cool to me.
Yeah.
Because we have one person in our neighborhood that's got a generator, so when the power goes out, oh my gosh, it's so annoying because you can't hear anything because the power's out, but their generator. But with solar, there's no noise.
Right.
Because now the power's out. And it's really cool to think that when the power's out, my solar panels will still be charging my battery. So I'll be living in my house, drawing, like my MacBook will be pulling power from the battery, but then the solar panels are recharging the battery behind it, which I think is really cool. Plus, I think generators, have you ever been around a generator or a Zondani?
You're talking about gas generators, right?
Well, my dad has a natural gas generator, correct?
Oh, I have never been around one. We have one, a person over at the end of our street that has a natural gas generator, but I've never heard it go on because we've never like been with, as long as I've been here, there's only been a couple of times that we've been without power for extended period of time. And both times I've been at work.
Okay. Yeah. So they make a lot of racket because they can't put them underground because of the heat and the exhaust and stuff like that. But it's kind of, you feel like I want to go punch him in the face because the whole neighborhood's quiet. Said it's like, and they're got all lights on and their heat's on. It's like, oh, I wanted to go bash in the face. But, you know, they decided to get the generator installed. But for me, I think solar's better because number one, it doesn't bother your neighbors. Your neighbors won't try to say, hey, like they did on the neighborhood, say, hey, can you charge my phone? Can I watch my TV and all this other stuff? Because no one will know. They won't know. So I just think that part's pretty cool.
Very cool. Did they give you, so you said they have a way, obviously they have a way of calculating out how much power your house would need and how many solar panels they'd have to install and batteries and all that. Did they give you a way that you could, like, if you wanted to run some of your own figures yourself, that you could do that? Or,
well, they don't know how much power I'm going to use because part of the process is I send them my bills, my electric bills, and they see how many kilowatt hours I'm using per month. From Google Maps, they can see, do I have the roof space? Are there any obstructions?
Gotcha.
How close am I to the equator? So they give me a preliminary estimate saying we probably can give you all the power through your solar panels. But if I'm running, like if I've got an MRI machine in my house, which I don't, that's going to draw more power. If I got a, you know, CAT scan machine, if I got a mini hospital in here, that's totally different. So they don't know all the power I need. Now, once we get further down the road, they will look at my bills and like, okay, this is the average you use. Like, say I'm pulling the number out of thin air. You use 5 kilowatt hours a month. Okay. We can provide 8 kilowatt and the other three will charge your battery first and then it goes to the grid. So they want it. My understanding from talking to Jessica, they want to make sure that your solar panels provide all the power you need because they want to like minimize the reliance on the grid. That's the way she explained it to me. So if your solar panels can keep your battery charged, and I don't know how long the batteries last. So if they're fully charged, and then you have like 7 days of cloudy. How long will that work? How long before you have to go to the grid? These are all questions I haven't investigated yet because I just literally thought about that. How long do batteries last? But it depends also if you're going to run your AC. Maybe it's going to be 75 degrees for a week and you don't really need the solar and the batteries are going to last 2 weeks. I have no idea. I'm just at the beginning process of doing this. Matter of fact, she asked me, where are you in the process? I said, I'm before the beginning. She thought that was kind of funny.
I like that. Before the beginning. I'm before the beginning.
But it's interesting to find out, she says, basically all the panels that are out there by qualified installers are top notch. They're going to last 25 years. The installers are all great. It's just making the decision because the technology has come to a point now where the numbers, and I like basic math, the numbers are, they make so much financial sense, literally make so much financial sense. So I was talking to my dad recently because he lives in Florida and this science kind of sounds kind of morbid, but I will get his house when he passes away, which I hope it's not for 15 more years. He's 81 years old, but I already told him, I said, I'm going to put solar on your house when we move in your house because he lives in Florida, the sunshine state. And I will put solar panels on his house because it'll lower my electric bill. Now the difference over there, he goes, well, I already have a generator. I said, yeah, but dad, the generator is noisy. Okay. And I'll still have that as a backup if something happens to the panels. But what's interesting is they have regulated electrical energy in Florida. The powers that be, why they did this, I have no idea. We have deregulated electric here in Texas and Houston. So like you have Rochester Gas and Electric.
Mm-hmm.
We have JEXA, we have CenterPoint, we have TXU, we have all these companies, and it's the same lines, the CenterPoint lines, but they want to deregulate it. And when people find out how much I pay for kilowatt per hour, they're like, holy crap, that's a lot of money because it's deregulated. Deregulation went the opposite direction, didn't get cheaper, got more expensive, but not as expensive as San Diego because I've watched the YouTuber and I'm paying, I think, 12.9 cents a kilowatt hour. And this guy during the summer pays 54 cents a kilowatt hour.
Ouch.
So he went solar, and during the summertime, he can keep his AC running at like 60 degrees because his solar like gives him all the power he needs. And he only pays the minimum. You know, they always have that like surcharge and all this other nonsense taxes. So everyone's got a minimum charge you have to pay your power company, but all he pays because his solar is completely providing power for his entire house, which I think is exciting because if things get worse, and I don't know how long the batteries last, but let's say the grid goes down, like we had an ice storm in February 21. Let's say the power grid goes down for 3-4 weeks, but then we have sunny skies and I've got batteries. Could I go with batteries and solar energy? Can I just go nonstop until they fix the grid?
And obviously, I would think so. Right. And obviously you can mitigate some of that, right? If you know you're going to be without power for an extended period of time, then you just monitor any use that you can. Now, obviously where you are and in your situation, you're already probably not using all that much. It's just you and Michelle, few devices in your house. Things aren't running all the time. I've got a bunch of people here. I've got like a refrigerator, a stand-up freezer. I got a lot of stuff going. However, if I needed to, I could figure out a way to cycle some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I needed to conserve power. And again, this is something that to investigate as you go down this road, or if I decide to get into looking into this, I believe you could start off with so many batteries, but I think you can add batteries. Your battery bank. I mean, in general, I think those batteries are almost just like car batteries, only maybe bigger. Like they're just batteries that store energy. So you should be able to add extra batteries as you need to. My guess is that over time, if you wanted to add more batteries, like if you had a place to store more batteries and you just wanted to add more batteries to your battery bank, just like buying a bigger, you know, mobile battery charger, you go from the 500 milliamp to the 10,000 milliamp battery pack. And then that way you've got more storage on hand. Well, you'll be able to last long.
Yeah, I got to imagine that true. And I actually just wrote myself a note to reach out to Jessica and find out how long a battery lasts.
That'd be a good question. Yeah.
I know the point is with solar, when the power goes out, as long as you have sun, obviously you have no sun in the nighttime, those panels are going to keep charging your battery.
Yeah.
Now, I got to imagine it's not like a cell phone battery. I'm sure the batteries last more than 24 hours. They probably last a lot longer because that's why it's important to have full exposure to the sun, because then your batteries are staying topped off during the day. And then, you know, so I haven't gotten down there yet, but I'm going to reach out to her and ask that question because that interests me. How long can these batteries last? You know, during the summer, we're using AC, but if it's like in the fall or the early spring, we're not using heat or electricity, obviously the batteries can last longer, to your point. So a very good question. Any other comments you want to ask, you want to say, or you want a question you want to ask me? I mean, I'm not an expert on solar, but I've done my due diligence the last couple of weeks.
I think you've covered this quite a bit. You've answered my questions. I don't think I have anything else. I think you've done an excellent job. I'm going to be interested to see as the days, months, and weeks and go by, you know, how far down the road you go and where you get. So it'll be interesting to get periodic updates on your journey.
Yeah, that's going to be something I plan on doing. Now, one of the things, I'm married to a really wonderful woman. When we bought this house back in 2004, she purchased a Cadillac insurance, which we can get a new roof without any damage for like $4,000. New roofs cost about $20,000 to $30,000. When I call the insurance company, they go, yeah, but they go, you got to file a claim. I'm like, that's not what our insurance policy said. And she looked and she goes, oh, yeah, you could just say you want a new roof. I'm like, I've been paying insurance since 2004. You know, I want some return on my investment, you know, so I want a new roof because I know I need a new roof for the panels, but I don't have to pay $20,000 for a roof. I can pay $4,000, then get the panels installed. So I'm looking to do something within the next 12 months because I'm excited about this. Especially, we have these nasty things called hurricanes every year. Although 22 was pretty a mild year for hurricanes, unless you were in the path of Ian or Ion, whatever his name is. I guess it would be Ian. Ion would be Ion, but you never know. And the thing about panels is they're kind of flat with the roof. Satellite dishes get ripped off all the time because they're out there sticking the side of the house. But the panels are like they're flush against your house. So, I mean, I'm not saying they can't be damaged. I'm just saying the way they're constructed, that if they're coming off, your roof is probably coming off. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sure they're bolted down really well to your roof too. They're not going to leave them so that they're just easily able to be peeled off of that roof.
Right. Right. Exactly. And the one final thing I will say is one YouTube video is watching. The guy says, should you clean your panels? You know, because there's a lot of dust and rain and stuff like that. And this guy was a nerd like you. And so when you get the solar panel, you get an app on your phone. So you can find out the battery charge and how long, all this other stuff. And so we did a test and he went out there and he cleaned all the panels and it made no difference. So apparently the panels are so well constructed that when they get dirt on them, when the next rainstorm comes along, it washes off. They're just so well designed that you don't have to worry about maintaining. They're truly, once it's installed, unless you have a manufacturer defect, which is rare, you just literally set it, forget it. You just go about your life and then you're just pulling solar panels or solar energy off the panels through your battery and you go through life. And you don't even, that's the kind of system I like, which means you don't have to tinker with it because I don't want to climb up on the roof and, oh, plug this in. I don't want to do all this stuff. I want it to totally be set it, forget it.
Awesome. Well, this is very good stuff, Mark. Excellent. Excellent stuff.
Well, you know, I'm sure people may have questions. And if there's only a way that they could reach out to us, that they could say, hey, I have solar, or this is the things I learned when I had solar. If only there was a way, Danny.
I wonder, is there a way? Is there a way? Oh, wait, there is a way.
What?
We have a WhatsApp group.
What?
Can you believe it? We do.
You're joking. Are you pulling my leg right now?
I would not joke about a WhatsApp group. Come on. So if you download WhatsApp, or you probably already have it because I think almost everybody has it, do a search for the number 2, Bald, B-A-L-D, Nerds with a Z or
Z,
as they say overseas, and you will find our group. You can ask to be let in. Mark or I could let you in. You can ask any questions that you'd like to ask. You can give us show topics because we're always looking for new topics. It's the group is kind of inactive. I'm trying to be nice. We don't have a lot of people in our group right now.
Two.
We have two.
And they happen to be bald.
and they happen to be bald nerds. So that's it. It's Mark and I right now. And we talk so many different other ways that sometimes we don't pay very much love to the channel, which we should probably start doing. But with nobody else in there, it's kind of hard to keep on top of that. So we'd love to have more community members jump in. Anybody who's listening, just stop by and jump in and even say hi. Mm-hmm. Just check stuff out. Ask questions. Ask any questions. Any nerdy question you want, doesn't really matter. We'd love to start talking to people. We'd love to reach out and have some sort of social community to build up around this. It would make us feel better. Maybe get you guys some answers, generate some show topics, some content, that kind of stuff. I think it would be well worth your time to invest in checking it out. So,
and before we wrap up the show, I got to ask you a favor. If this episode served you in any way, any podcast player, you can hit the little share button and you can send the episode to your friend. So if you're like, hey, my friend Bob at work is considering solar energy, well, you can hit that share button and text him this episode. So go ahead and share this episode. Share any of our episodes. If any of our episodes really served you or you know someone who could be served by it, go ahead and share with them. It's so easy to share the episode now. And we want to get more people listening to this episode. Now, the one thing we didn't do it, I didn't tell you the company that I'm using to help me get estimates. The reason why is I haven't had a chance to vet them. And I really respect your time. And the person, Jessica, I talked to, wonderful person. She actually told me to send her this episode, which I will. That's why it prompted me to do that, to remind you to do that. But I don't want to give out any information yet because I'm so early in the beginning. I would hate to recommend it. And it turns out they're a scam. I don't think they are, but just be on the safe side. All you got to do is go do your homework. Just make sure they have great ratings. That's all I'm saying, because you don't know who they are. So great episode. Thank you for your attention. And Danny, you haven't come up with a topic for next time, but I know you will, because
I actually have.
Ooh,
I actually do have a topic.
Breaking news.
Yes. It actually sort of came to me while we were talking about this. So in the spirit of DIY and me being the nerdy computer guy, The next topic I want to explore is DIY computing. It used to be a big thing back in the day. We've gotten away from a lot of that in the modern era. I would like to outline why it may make sense to do some DIY computing on your own these days. And I have some very specific reasons that I will talk about, but that's what I'm going to talk about in the next episode is do-it-yourself computing. Now, that doesn't mean building computer boards from scratch, so don't think we're going to be that nerdy. But it's a topic that I'd like to explore, and if you find it useful, then I hope you'll get some value out of it. So definitely make sure you're tuning in.
All right. Now, we always have to give them the marching orders. We already gave them one piece of homework. Join the WhatsApp group. The second one, share this episode. And Danny, what is the third homework assignment for him?
Third homework assignment is to stay nerdy.